We have 3,800 members. And our response to this was very rapid, as has been the case on in other occasions of the sort, that we, that is the executive board, within about a week, actually a little over a week, the first time we had a chance to meet, issued a statement in which, while we shared with the anxiety and the grief of the country, and also we knew that many of our students were dealing with difficult emotional as well as intellectual responses to this, that we had to deal with their needs and the needs of our members. But nonetheless, we could not abdicate in terms of making a statement on our overall feelings about what was happening and what we projected would happen. And I'll just read the last paragraph of the statement. Further, as a leading organization in our community, we shall continue to be a voice for nonviolence, defense of democratic rights and civil liberties, and resistance to ethnic and religious scapegoating. We support our congressional representative, Barbara Lee, in expressing opposition to granting authority to the president to wage war and oppose any military escalation and intervention, even while wishing to seek justice in this case. And we had this ratified by a representative council. Members of the union received this. Further, we asked people to attend the September 29th rally and have continued to try to educate our members about what is going on and involve our members. And I'll get back to that in a moment. But let me just make a few other comments in regard to our feelings. One is that we know, as teachers, as people in the public sector, that we have a privileged relationship in regard to the public, and that it's absolutely mandatory that we take a stand on issues of this sort and have a chance to dialogue with the community as well as students. And I think that especially now, when the role of students, and often when you say the role of students, people think immediately of college students being active on this, and of course they are, but high school students as well, who show a growing activism on a wide range of issues that I'm sure many of you are familiar with, including the super jail. I believe there's going to be a rally tomorrow around that, in regard to racial profiling, it was mentioned, in regard to Mamiya, that these are things that are more than just teachable moments, although they're that too, but they are things that we need to share with those that we work with on a daily basis. And the union has, in fact, taken a strong stance in a number of issues that relate to this. The energy crisis, which obviously relates to it in regard to talking about the politics of oil as well as what's happening within the state. On immigrant rights, on Mumia, some of you know, we had a series of teach-ins and have continued to develop curriculum. And for those who question, and I think this references what the last speaker said, those who question the direct relationship of this, one should remember that the denial of Mumia's appeals have based on a piece of legislation that referenced not only capital punishment, but also international terrorism, so that we need to raise the case of Mumia within the context of this struggle. And going back some, we, back at the time of the Gulf War, also took a fairly strong stand, and moreover had a series of forums for our members. And let me just mention that in line with that, tomorrow we're going to have the first of a series of activities for our members, but others are invited as well. It's going to be at Oakland Tech High School in the library. Tuesday, from 4 to 7. And we're going to have Hatem Bazanian, Wilson Riles, Reva Antin from the National Lawyers Guild, and Carolyn Marks from the World Wall for Peace. And if you are interested in playing a role in the schools, we are stressing, of course, this is first and foremost for teachers and students, but others are welcome as well. The question here, I think, of visibility goes beyond simply one union. A number of us have played an important role in the labor for peace and justice, and I encourage those of you who are members of unions to participate in that. There was a gathering last Sunday, and there will be other gatherings, and you can pass on your name to me or to others here if you're interested in that. But I think this is especially important for working people and organized working people, because even as the hysteria of this grows, part of the defense of civil liberties and democratic rights is the defense of labor rights. We hear this kind of beating on the BART workers when they were thinking about a possible strike. Others, how can you strike at a time like this? I think that the principle here is the same, some may disagree with me, as during World War II. Even if you agree, on some level with some of the government's positions, that does not mean that you stop the struggle for basic rights for working people and the oppressed. And so I encourage you to participate in your unions, if you're in unions, to do that. Now, finally, let me just say that within our union, we are waging a struggle, partly through developing a caucus that, while it's mainly focusing on contract issues, deals with issues of this sort and tries to help people organize. And within our statewide organization of over 300,000, and then last weekend we raised a number of business items on this. And although the one in the war was defeated, the fact that there were people out there who began to see that there's a voice, not just in Oakland, because it's easy to say, oh, well, that's Oakland, but in other parts of the state who are beginning to speak up on this, and I do think that we do. I understand that many of you feel that we have to have more advanced demands, and I think that is true. Okay. But I also think that we need to reach unity, broad unity, on issues around stopping the war, civil liberties, and a defense against racist attacks. And the other issues that we can bring in other formats are valuable, but we need to reach out and maintain that kind of unity. So I'll stop there. Thank you.